this automatically, or?
It loads it automatically, yes.
My bifocals aren't at the right. Can I go stand about another 10 feet away? It's always, they're always either too close or too far away for me to be able to see. And you're taping, right?
It is being recorded.
Oh, so I can't stand out there. It's okay. I'm a,
yeah, I mean, you can.
Well, I'm a teacher, you know, so
yeah,
I
like
don't,
move around.
Yeah, I don't stand well in one place,
yeah,
but that's okay.
I would say if you want to go out there and go for it, it's,
you know, no, that's okay. That's okay. My bigger problem will be trying to focus in on this.
Yeah.
But if I take off my glasses, I can't see people. One of those, you either had a choice of sticking around or leaving. I mean, if I wanted to get out today, I had to leave before my session.
Yeah.
Going,
yeah. Going
it's hard
limit
to.
Yeah, there aren't many. I don't know if there are any.
Well, there might be, but to get to Springfield, the last flight out of St. Louis is at 8. And there's only one flight out of here that connects with that. And that's at like 12:45, something like that. Then I read the whole book, and this year it just was kind of vacant.
Huh.
I thought, but then it might just be because my degree is environmental health, and pretty much only environmental health. So.
It is a very strange
story. To the front?
Yeah.
Can't come in from the back at all.
Very odd.
That's okay. We'll let you be rude.
No.
That's mine. Yeah, because I don't want to sit back here while everybody else is getting their talks. I helped out with the window section. And their food sustainable food thing.
Did you go to the session last week?
Yes.
Very good.
It was very good. Very good. I don't do this.
I'll put service down for you.
Thank you. And are you around? Are you staying tonight?
Yeah, I'm staying tonight.
Okay. I dropped a packet of potatoes for off at the front desk.
Okay, I'll do that. Yeah, I think I haven't got it yet.
Okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to collect all the information
Cool, and we're going to talk later on. What
we're
supposed to talk about? Something in the program?
We're going to actually be doing some soil monitoring.
Oh, when we already get our talks.
We kind of did it.
Okay,
cool. Yeah, I'm going to try to connect with you. I just wanted to, you know, since John went to the meeting tomorrow, too, I wanted to
make sure you're kind of on the same level. Yeah,
that
makes sense.
Special.
Okay. Then we'll run the commenting session.
Okay. All right. See you later.
Thank you.
I think so. Yeah.
Probably mercury level. got some sulfur and sulfur compound further on out from that, but I don't know how far. So I don't know how extensive this is going to be or how long it's going to be. It's going to be kind of like, go to, here's the hot spot. And if there's a real problem, then ask the people that can have money.
Hello.
Hello.
Are you Cheryl?
Yeah.
You're ready to go.
Yeah. Casey told me to get ready, so.
I hope that I have my favorite to show away. They didn't.
Dilemma?
Well, I'm probably responsible.
I know, that's why we're not, none of us are going to sit at the table. Casey gave permission. She's the moderator. She's like here. And you must be third, I think. Yeah. Con?
Yeah.
Yeah. Another conference Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and I spoke Saturday morning, and I couldn't get out of town to get here. So it was Sunday or not at all. Thank you. kind of know.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to this session on local environmental health initiatives. Thank you for coming here at the very end of the APHA meeting. Before we get started, I wanted to make just a few announcements. First, welcome from the environment section. This session is sponsored by that section, and we invite you to become more involved in the section if you are not already. And if you have any questions, you can talk with me afterwards. First announcement is all of our speakers have disclosed that they have no relevant financial relationships that would bias this session. And the second announcement is the environment section is doing a short survey, and you'll find those surveys on your chairs. We're going to ask that you fill it out. It should take just 30 seconds. We're using the data as part of a grant application for funds to bring in students and local community health workers to the APHA meeting next year. So it's going to be used for a worthy cause. You might also be interested to know that from all of the completed surveys, we are going to choose one, and the chosen survey will win a free registration for the 2009 APH meeting. So there's an altruistic motive for filling out the survey and also a self-serving motive for filling out the survey. So with that, we are going to go ahead and get started. This session is looking at local environmental health initiatives. As you all know, environmental health initiatives at the local level are really what communities rely on for their public health protection. This session will look at a variety of different community-level local initiatives, including those focused on naturally occurring asbestos, air pollution, fostering leadership, and emergency response, and also a framework to evaluate environmental public health capacity indicators. So we'll go ahead and get started with our first speaker. Our first speaker is Sharon LaFollette. From the Department of Public Health at the University of Illinois at Springfield. And Sharon is going to talk with us about a multi-strategy approach to enhance awareness and preparation for environmental health in times of emergency response and homeland security.
Thank you. Yes, I'm quite used to everybody butchering my name, so that is okay. Welcome. I'm here to talk about three types of local people, I guess. The first local health would be the local individuals we were interested in reaching with this would be the community around Springfield, Illinois. I'm sure most of you know that Springfield, Illinois is the capital of Illinois. We are downstate, only Chicago is upstate. Everybody else south of Chicago is downstate. But we were targeting the community around Illinois to know about emergency response. Second group of people we wanted to target were the local practitioners, and that group was statewide. So we teamed with the Illinois Environmental Health Association. The third group is actually a local group in the sense that it's our online students. So the furthest one I have right now in my local group is in Hawaii, I think, except, no, I guess Iraq would be the nearest one, and that's because he's stationed over there for war efforts. So I'm going to talk about some strategies we developed to try to reach the message of local involvement in emergency response and preparedness. And as she said, no relationships to disclose. What I'm going to talk about is the definition of crisis. We took a broad view of crisis, and not just the crises themselves, but the crisis in the discipline. I'm going to talk to you about the venues. I'm going to show you that it was a team effort, and that team effort got us a grant to help support this work. The agenda for both the conferences and then the course that was morphed from the conferences, and then give you a little idea of whether we had some success or not. The first is crisis in environmental health. And we initially took it to mean that we are a hidden profession. There's not a lot of people out there that know what environmental health is. They hear the word environment, and you guys are well aware that they think, you know, tree huggers. And including students, they don't know what a major in environmental health is. And so our first effort was the crisis in failure to recognize by the communities what local or what environmental health means. Second crisis in environmental health is the brain drain. And so the accredited schools of environmental health, which I'm one of, cannot turn out the number of students needed by the workforce. And so we were hoping to get the word out that there is definitely a need for a career path choice by students. And then the third is we wanted the students in general to be generally aware of environmental health, and so we developed a Gen Ed course to get out that recognition. And in the Gen Ed course, we talk about natural and man-made disasters and how you respond to it, et cetera. And we did that by bringing in practitioners and experts in the area to talk about how you plan for crisis and manage those crises. So we had three groups of audience. The first was a public lecture series, and the lecture series were in the evening. We had named speakers, Nelson Fabian from the National Environmental Health Association spoke one evening to talk about what is environmental health and the future of environmental health. Second day, we had the person that wrote Lessons Learned from 9/11, and we thought that that would pull in people. You'll learn it didn't. Neither one did. So the local community was not interested in hearing about environmental health at all. Two-day conference addressed the needs of the practitioners, and so a lot of them needed CEUs. We offered CEUs for a two-day conference. That two-day conference then we videotaped, and all the speakers' videos and their lecture notes morphed into an electronic course. We offered online via Blackboard. It targets the general education students on campus, plus we have another version that targets the master's students in public health so that they can be aware of emergency response. And then we have a certificate in emergency preparedness and homeland security that this course now qualifies as the introductory course in that series. The team was both on campus and it was multidisciplinary. We had people from the public health department, not just myself, but other people in that academic program. The Center for State Policy and Leadership, which is our research and public education branch at the university. And then a team of faculty across disciplines to do all the research necessary to identify the key topics we wanted to talk about and bring in these speakers. We also had partnership with the Illinois Environmental Health Association and the Illinois Department of Public Health. So I do want to thank that team that was up there. The team was needed for the literature review. We wanted to make sure everything we said was based on sound science. We wanted a clear focus on what the research of the day was in workforce crisis and how to potentially manage the crisis in the workforce. We also wanted to talk about environmental health participation in emergency response. We wanted the students and the practitioners to come away with a clear view of what environmental health practice meant in emergency response, that it wasn't just, you know, saving people out of fires, burning buildings. We wanted to get the whole realm of environmental health. And then we wanted to highlight a wide variety of natural disasters. And 2 years ago when we started this effort, there were a variety of them that gave us plenty of fodder to deal with. And I'll go through some of those. The people we brought in were the heavy hitters. They were the people at EPA, at Center for Disease Control, at Department of Health and Human Services that were the responders in emergency crises. At the local level, it was the state health department or the local version of them that were involved in these emergencies that we identified. And then we made sure that the practitioners had pictures of the event, so it was very heavily driven by the pictures that they had as a part of their response, and then the practical advice that came from it. So what we talked about: hurricanes hit that year in Louisiana, so that was really good fodder. We had flooding everywhere in Illinois. We had two tornadoes that went through Springfield itself and just devastated our business community, the mall area of the community. And then we did have 9/11 that we put in that, even though it was a little old by then, we still decided to go with it, primarily because of the release of the book. The strategic environmental health issues we dealt with are the classics: the solid and hazardous waste issues, potable water, safe food, and then shelter. Competencies we dealt with, we brought in the need for cultural competencies, environmental justice issues, and then how to get public involved in the preparedness as well as the response. And we found every highly visible topic we could possibly find, both in the literature and in the newspaper, to try to morph into this course. So the videotapes, we had 2 days worth of conference, 2 days worth of public lecture series, so we had quite a bit of videotape. They morphed into 10 DVDs that the students now use in the class. We were able to get PowerPoints from every one of the speakers, so you can listen to them as well as see their talks. We found 5 common themes throughout them, which we morphed into 5 case studies. And so the students had to evaluate and plan and prepare and immerse themselves in each one of the 5 case studies. And as it's moved online and nationwide, it's become a way for them to evaluate their local community. So we do not focus on the communities in the stories that were told. We focus on their community. So they have to take this and try to apply it to home. And then the technology we use, if you're familiar with Blackboard, that's a pretty much classic. We made everything into podcasts so that they could walk around listening to it, as well as the DVD versions. So here are our case studies. The first case study was the environmental health workforce. You know, what does an environmental health person do? And so we grouped the sessions that were environmental health related into that case study, and we got them, you know, in your community, do you have an environmental health workforce? Where are they? Who houses them? What do they do in your community? And then what don't they do that you would think they should be doing? So it was kind of a needs analysis of the workforce. Mobilizing the workforce then was in the hurricanes, floods, tornadoes, crises. What do the environmental health professionals do? Are they up front? Are they behind the scenes? How do they work? And does your community have a plan for that mobilization? The third case study was communication, and we actually had media representatives here. How do you communicate with media? How do you get the same message, the right message? How do you organize the community? The fourth case study was expecting the unexpected, and these were two, based on the two disasters we covered, which were radiological accidents and then 9/11. And bringing that to home was more like expecting the catastrophic accident like an agrochemical facility blowing up or something along that line is how we brought it down to their level. And then environmental justice. For environmental justice, we had some e-waste discussions, we had equality discussions, and then legal and policy issues of environmental justice and how to deal with them. What's the reporting requirements when environmental justice is injustice is identified, et cetera. Okay. Now, evaluations. We were really disappointed at the public lecture series. We thought we got the message out everywhere, newspaper, et cetera. The evenings were good. There was nothing else going on in town. The weather was good. You know, it was March, but the weather was still good. We got a total of 10 for each one of the evenings. If it weren't for the student, we opened it up to students on campus. If it weren't for the students on campus, we wouldn't have had anybody. Basically, we had a total of 47 people, of which most of those were students, and I think those faculty, I owe them something for bringing their classes to the talk. The conference had really good attendance. The average Central Chapter attendance for Illinois Environmental Health Association is about 60 to 70. We had 120 for this, so there was definitely a perceived need. We gave CEUs for all of the key areas. We made sure, you know, foods were covered and water was covered and sanitation was covered so that they could get their CEUs they needed for their practitioner license. Illinois requires an environmental health practitioner license for many of the job positions in the state agency and in the county agencies. And we got really good feedback from them. So, and in fact, they have been our best advocates to try to get students or their fellow workers to take the class and get the certificate in environmental health and preparedness. The next is the course, and the course is online now. We've offered it for 5 semesters with at least 2 sections a semester, and we limit them to 20 people in a section, so we've been able to offer 14 sections during those 5 semesters. We've reached 280 students, all of which are giving us feedback that, gee, we didn't know, A, what environmental health was, B, we didn't know that it is our role to be part of the response in emergencies, as well as that there's things they could do to advocate for improved preparedness and things like that in their community. So it's gone over well. Our master's students, of the master's students who have sat in the course, 7 out of the 10 who have taken the course have now gone on to get the certificate of emergency preparedness and homeland security, so we're rather pleased with that. It is online, and so it's an easy access for anybody. And environmental health is no longer an invisible profession, although I can't really say that's true for everybody who took the course. You will have those people, even though they've read all the materials, they still do not understand what environmental health is. And so I would say there's every semester, you know, you get one or two that still can't quite define what environmental health is in their own mind, but that's basically it. And then I'm open for suggestions. I have to do this every 3 years. I have to identify a topic, and I have to reach all 3 publics, okay? And I have to figure out what it is. This is actually a result of the tornado. This is our Michelin man. And the tornado blew his head off. I'll be happy to say that the head was found, and it has since been reattached. But this whole area of Springfield was completely flattened, with the exception of this building and the body of the Michelin man. So, do I have time for questions then? Okay, questions?
I have a question. Mm-hmm.
Sure.
And climate change.
Yes, there were a couple because the floods in particular ranged anywhere from local floods to Bangladesh response. The guy that came from EPA had just come back from Bangladesh at the time and had responded there. We had tsunami, and so that was brought up as part of that. The other thing that didn't come out here with respect to shelter, we actually had somebody with the schools talking about the disruption in the school calendar because of the need to house individuals in the schools and what that meant then to the school sessions. And things. So we tried to be as global and diverse as possible. Yes? There is nothing except that you have an undergraduate degree and are willing to learn the science that goes with the courses in the certificate. This is one of the courses. It's a series of five courses, of which two, this is one of the core courses. We have risk communication, risk assessment, an entry level course in risk assessment. We have program evaluation and this one, and then you can take another one as an elective. So it's a five sequence course. It's all online, and so you qualify for e-tuition at our university, which means nationwide you get in-state tuition. Thank you.
Okay, our next speaker today is Tracy Keenan. Tracy works with Applied Survey Research in California, and she is going to talk with us about fostering leadership and environmental conservation awareness among Mexican immigrants.